Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Shut Your Face with your host, me, Bree. Thank you so much for subscribing to this and listening to this and being supportive of this. It means the absolute world. It's the coolest thing ever. So thank you so much for listening to our podcast. Let's get into it.
Yeah, I've had that happen before too, and you're like, oh, I don't want to be that person, but
right. Well, first of all, let me go back. Let me move my mouse. I want to say thank you for taking the time to do this, because I know you are extremely, extremely busy. And so it's really cool that you're taking the time to do this. You are Dr. Molly Hamilton.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to kind of just tell me or tell everybody exactly what you do for a living? Because I know we do work for you, but exactly what do you do?
Yes. So I am an animal and human chiropractor. Went and got my human doctorate, have a bachelor's in animal science. So I started out pre-chiropractic, and then I kind of hit the panic, like, I don't want to go to school for that long. And I took a year in between, and I did like some management research stuff for a major swine company. So did that, and honestly, I got so sick of the corporate world. Going back to school. So went back, got my doctorate, and like while I was there the last year, I did my animal certification. So that certification is mainly focused towards like dogs and horses. Did all the fun board exams. And then I went and did a food animal training. So I'm actually one of very few people nationally that has that. So I do a lot of cattle, pigs, goats, sheep, type stuff. So I've had my practice since day one, because I was going to buy a practice actually on the human side, and just some things changed and I wasn't happy about it.
Yeah.
I was like, screw this. And started my practice. I think I got my license, and like literally 2 days later, I started seeing patients, because I, like, in all seriousness, like, I had 82 cents in my bank account. Like, it was a sink or swim. Like,
oh, wow.
Like, get going. And at the time, like, I was married and stuff. So, I mean, there was a little bit of security, but like, not much.
Right. Yeah. No.
And like, you know, buying a house, doing all these things. So I pretty much hit the ground running, and I had a building in town that I saw people out of, and I kind of laugh, like the animals are always like my thing. So that like kind of slowly has faded over the years, and I actually sold my building, and we closed on Monday for that. So,
oh, cool. Congrats. Yeah.
I do all the things right now. But yeah, and so I did that food animal course, and I think I was actually down there when my first cattle client called me. And they're like, hey, we got some cows for your work. I'm like, okay, here we go.
But like, no, I never would have thought, and I'm probably naive when I say this, I never thought that cows, anything other than horses, got chiropractic treatment. Like, I mean, I don't mean it mean. You just, know. You're like, what?
No, I have a very niche career. That's for sure.
That's cool, though. Like,
it's wild, because, like, I do. So, I think to date, I've done close to 105,000 animals. Like,
holy crap.
I mean, it's wild. Like, I do a lot of like hourly type stuff.
Yeah.
So that maybe goes up a little bit faster than some of your traditional care workers. But of that, probably about 70 of that has been cattle.
I go to a human chiropractor, and what I've learned from the human chiropractic part of it is just blows my mind of how many things can be addressed just through chiropractic services. Right, so is that kind of the same concept, or generally the same concept with animals?
Yep, I like, you know, you see human babies get adjusted. I do a lot of newborn calves, baby lambs. I actually go out to a lot of the bull farms, like for semen collection and those kind of things. And then I do, there's a handful of them that I do. They're donor cows, so they're flushing them for embryos and all that fun stuff. So definitely get to play in like the reproduction world a little bit. Had some really cool stories with that, but I love calving season.
Yeah, no, that's cool. No, that's really cool that you just said that, because, like, you know, again, I'm going to sound completely dumb when I say this, but I just didn't realize that, you know, babies, at least human babies, but now animal babies, right? You know, that they would be adjusted, like it would matter, but it does. Like, you have no, like, when you actually sit down to learn this stuff that you do, you know, it blows your mind what can be corrected way, way, way early.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And honestly, a lot of those issues usually start around birth. It's kind of, and then they get more exaggerated developmentally as you move throughout their life. Like, you know, you get a lot of them that, they kind of have like a roach back type thing. And usually that does start at birth, especially if you're looking at, you know, like sale calves that are maybe like, I don't know, like within a year old, they're young. But yeah, and so it's really interesting to get to play in that. and just like the wild things, because I, like, while I was going through chiropractic school, I was like 8 months. Yeah, about 8 months from graduating, and I mean, it's a whole long story, but I had this horse that he got out and got hit by a truck. Like, totaled out an F-150, flipped in the air 3 times, he had a 2-foot laceration, could see 3 different joints, I mean, like, just wild.
Right.
And I had 3 different veterinarians, you know, like, they're like, I don't know if he's A, gonna stay alive, and B, if he's going to be sound again. I was riding him 6 months later. Yeah.
I believe this, though.
And we got it to heal up with no proud flesh. He only had 2 days of painkillers and 1 round of antibiotics. And, like, I think I was, like, naive enough in my career to just, like, see what happens.
Right,
you know?
Right.
And so I just adjusted him, and we did a little bit of, like, PEMF. And use some different stuff on the wound, and I mean, he's still out in my pasture.
That is amazing. That is right. So cool.
Still, yeah, he's my little freak, and it was kind of cool because at, like, 5 years later, I had X-rays done because he was having a little bit of a problem, like, on the backside of third, and, like, we couldn't quite figure out what was going on. So I told the vet, I was like, "Can you just take X-rays of every joint, every leg? Like, he could have a chunk of metal sitting there for all, you know, I mean."
Right.
Barrel horse problems, and then there's, like, Maury barrel horse problems.
Right.
And we took X-rays, and he has no arthritis. Like, there's one itty-bitty little spot, but I mean, for what he's been through, the vet's like, his X-rays should look horrible, like, absolutely horrible, and he looks better than some of the horses he sees on the track.
I'm so glad you're talking about this, because, like, about a year ago, I was working, and I've worked hard for a really long time, like 7 days a week, probably stupid hard, not more than anybody else. I don't mean to sound like that, but whatever. I was really, yeah, like, I was just hurting my body, and I woke up one day, literally about a year ago, and I went to sit down, and I couldn't get up. Like, I mean, you talk about the fear, and you're like, oh shit, you know, like, yeah. It wasn't a pain, but it was a problem. Yeah. And something in me, like, we talked about intuition the other day, but something in me said, go to Greensboro to a chiropractor, not to Reidsville, because Reidsville's a small little town and we got some small town minded stuff. So I don't want to, you know, just hold on. So I go to Greensboro, right? And I see the lady, and she does X-rays, and she does all this kind of stuff. And she said, we can get you fixed. And I've got, like, level 2 degenerative disc or whatever. Like, they're just, like, whatever. And I firmly believe that if I had not gone there and I had went to, like, an emergency room, or if I had went somewhere else, they would have wanted to sell me a surgery. They would have wanted to do all of this other stuff that I probably didn't need. And the chiropractor saved me. I firmly believe that, because...
Yeah.
when, because he said you can't make money off of healthy people. Like,
that's true.
So I hate this. I'm not saying all of them are bad, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like if I would have went to Reidsville, they probably would have said, okay, you need a surgery.
Yeah.
When I really didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, there's a time and a place for modern medicine, but at the end of the day, like, a lot of that stuff can be taken care of with chiropractic, because like, I personally, so I go like about once a week to a chiropractor, like religiously, just, and with the physicality of what I do on the animal side.
Right.
And so I have religiously gone once a week. I think the longest I ever went was like 2-3 weeks, just whatever. But like, I couldn't tell you the last time I had the cough, cold, flu, like any of that junk. And so it's really interesting, because I mean, I was in my human office during COVID, and I technically didn't have to shut down because I was considered like emergency, whatever they called it.
Yeah.
I was the only thing open on Main Street during this. And mind you, I had opened my practice 6 months before this, so I didn't qualify for any business help. Like, I was on my own. And it was really interesting, because the people that were in my practice never had a problem with COVID. And so I just kind of, that's what it is.
It makes you think, though. You're like.
Mm-hmm. And even like on the animal side, most of my clients are like monthly clients, and we just kind of keep them on a maintenance schedule, because it's easier to prevent a problem than it is to try and come back and fix a problem.
Yep.
And especially when they get into the cattle and they're pushing them hard, and they're, you know, they're pushing for a certain weight or like XYZ. There's all these things. And especially around state fair season, everything gets a little wonky. But those people that are regularly on my schedule rarely have a problem with lameness, bloat, sick calves, like running random fevers, you know, all of these. And it's, and the body's in a state where it can regulate itself. There's no reason to have symptomatic health issues. And so it's really interesting to kind of play with it and watch the patterns.
No, I agree 110%. It makes you kind of question, and not to offend, you know, in the intelligence and the hard work that goes into medicine, right? But it does make you want to kind of question, like, some of these things. Do you really need that? Is that really good for you? Like, it's man-made, you know? And then once you kind of understand business, that at the end of the day, they're running a business too. They have to make money too. You will start second-guessing things. Like, you will be like, okay.
Especially, like, I was in a network with insurances for a while, and it was always interesting to me, like, the things that they would deny for, and they would say it's not medically necessary. Okay, fair, but, like, you haven't seen the patient. You haven't physically seen this person. So, like, how does the insurance company know it's not medically necessary for this patient?
Right.
Like, unless they don't start just lumping everybody in the same bowl and, like, you know, treating everybody the exact same way, it doesn't. It didn't add up for me, and I think that's one of the 8 million reasons why I'm more than happy to be on the animal side.
Well, yeah, like, and to go into what we were talking about the other day, I think in very intuitive people that, like, and I feel like you're this way, very intuitive, very, like, energy-driven people get along better with animals.
Yes.
Than people, because animals are a lot more, I don't want to say innocent, but just honest.
Yes. Well, and they're energetic beings too. Like, you know, their whole world is off of energy, and like, what, like, is it good or bad? Like, that's really how they work. And so if you have this, you know, like, I mean, we are energetic beings. We do have, you know, a voltage and like all of these things. And so when you, like, there's different frequencies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Energy. And so if you have this poor frequency, like, they're not going to gravitate towards you, you know? And it's kind of interesting. So I have some people that I'd be like, oh, they're really, really naughty, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like the quietest animal when I'm working on them. Like, they just stand there and they just love on it. Like, I laugh, but, you know, when you go into something with just a pure intention just to help, they feed off of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, people have a tendency to project themselves onto other things, not even just other humans, but situations and animals and stuff like that. Like, I have learned sometimes you can get your own emotions caught up into it, but once you've kind of figured out to separate you from what you're being told or what you see, you can figure out people are projecting onto you. And even like what we were talking about the other day, like when you get into arguments with people or when you are just generally conversing with humans, sometimes you can get pulled into like their own projection, because at the end of the day, you can really only take what they're telling you.
Yes.
And then add that to the energy that you're getting. And that's kind of like what you got, you know, like from what somebody's telling you. And like in order to read people, I guess is what I'm trying to say, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting too, because like, I think some of those people too, that get really like projection-y or like, combative, maybe a little, you know what I mean?
It's like they're being attacked, but you're not attacking them.
Yes. Like they kind of have this belief that like everybody's out to get them in a way. And, but like, I think some of those people too don't maybe understand like entrepreneurship, you know, or like they like to see all the rosy sunshine things of business and they don't see all of the back end stuff, like they don't see the 8 million books sitting behind me.
Right.
You know, that it took to get there, or like the investment to have the logos and the trademarking and like the you know, all the startup and the education that goes into it, and then just kind of see the, you know, the life that you get to live because you've worked hard and busted your ass.
Well, and you know what's funny about it is, if you turned around and said, okay, let's take your 9-to-5 check away,
yes,
it would change the ball game real quick.
Yeah. And I love that. Like, and I don't think people realize like how important that can be. Like, because, you know, you hear about it all the time, like, there's, because I do help like some people like business coaching wise.
Oh, cool.
Business development. Like, I have my Stock Show PhD is all of my online education. So it's anatomy, physiology, and then there's going to be business stuff in there for
like
practitioners and stuff. So that's all in the works. I'm sure you'll have to do some stuff for that for me.
No, I would love to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but like, I, you know, it's, people say that they want to start a business or they want to do something all the time, you know, and it's like, sometimes you got to just jump. Like, you have no idea if you're going to be able to swim. You have no idea what's going to happen, but if you jump, you'll figure it out on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, and like when I had 82 cents in my bank account, I didn't really have an option to not succeed.
Right.
Like, you know, I'd already invested over $500,000 in my education, and like, that was the option. And so I think you know, and I don't think everybody's cut out for entrepreneurship, but.
No, I agree with you.
You understand like where your shortcomings are for business. Like, if you're not the organizational person, hire somebody. Like, my assistant, she probably wants to kick my butt right now. Cause I just, you know, State Fair, I'm like a little bit more of the idea person, you know, and I'm things, and she's the one that keeps my schedule in one piece.
Well, you know, I think being an entrepreneur or working for yourself or, you know, owning your own business, you have to be very self-aware, number one, because it was funny cause somebody told me I wasn't self-aware, and I was sitting there thinking to myself, okay, you have to be in order to run it, because you have to know where you're good, where you're bad, where you need this, where you need that. You know, you have to know. Even I think Mark Cuban said it, or maybe it wasn't Elon Musk, but somebody said, I don't have a PhD, but I hire PhDs.
Exactly.
And you know, you have to be self-aware. You have to be like, okay, well, I'm not really good at this, so let's hire somebody to do that. Let's fix the problems that you need in order to go forward.
Yeah, because like, and that's, I think it's really interesting too, because I think part of growth and all of that is being able to look at like maybe the parts of yourself that you don't really like to look at or want to look at. But I think that's what keeps people stuck, you know. And I had a friend of mine that, like, you could tell he was so run down in his 9-to-5, like, said that he hated it every day, but like would not move to get out. I'm like, the only way you're gonna get out of that is if you just leave. Like,
yeah,
that is the only way, because with somebody that's like that deep in it, you know. And it's, I'm like, I'm very grateful that, like, if I want to be off next Friday, I just set them off. But like, I also don't get paid.
Well, and it's, I think it's too, you could probably agree with what I'm fixing to say, it's a social pressure too. Like, because actually to work for yourself is the black sheep. Like, it's the, not the norm. And it's very much ingrained in, you know, a society, in society and in humans. Okay, go to school, go get your degree and get in debt, then go buy a house and get in debt. That way you're stuck at your 9-to-5 and you can't leave. And then you, you know, just reproduce and do like, do whatever you're supposed to do. It's ingrained that that's the norm. So when you see something different than that, your first instinct is, oh, that's a threat. That's not, you don't need to be doing that. What?
It's not safe. It's not security. It's not comfort. Cause that's, I mean, comfort is the death of society. Like, I mean, if I told one of my friends the other day, I don't know what we're talking about, something like this. And I was like, management is where dreams go to die. Like, that, you know, like, everybody has all these dreams and then they go into management and then they're, you know, the corporate management type stuff. And it's like, nope, I gotta work hard for the next 5 years to get a $10,000 raise. And it's like, are you kidding me? You are nuts.
Right. Well, I saw a TikTok literally yesterday. This girl, she looks really young, like early 20s, maybe mid 20s, but she's really young for what she says. And what she says is, because I didn't even think about it then, but you know, she's talking about how this big brand messaged her to do a collab or whatever have you, you know, and they wanted her to work for free to prove herself. Now, I can understand that, right? I get it. Like, I'm all about trying the alchemy. Like, if I see an opportunity, I've done stuff for free because I know I'm going to get an opportunity out of it. However, what she says is she goes, you know, what if at the end of that 30 days, they go, oh, you didn't prove yourself. We just got some free work, you know. And I kind of had to applaud her a little bit, because I was like, you're right. That does happen. You know, big companies, other people, they can totally take advantage of you in the sake of, you're new, we're giving you an opportunity to prove yourself, you know, or whatever have you. And that's kind of a touchy situation, but I liked what she said, because it was like, you know, you're right. That's kind of a tough line to follow, because you are too young to have a worth, I guess, or that's the wrong word. Like, you're too young to have experience to stand on.
Yes.
But then again, it's like, okay, well, if you're going to start the relationship off this way, there's already no respect. I'm working for free.
Yeah. And that was like, because what got me, like, with my, when I was in corporate for a hot second, you know, it was like, we want this done. Okay. Did that. And then, like, the next day they come in and say, well, like, why did you do it that way? I'm like, you literally just told me to do it that way. So what do you want me to do? And, you know, and it was just this, I don't like the game that you have to play, the politics game, really, is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't like that. If I was a betting man, I'd bet on myself before I'm going to bet on somebody else for my own success. You know, like, I'm not going to put my success and everything else in somebody else's hands.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. I don't understand how people think, like, yep, I'm just gonna rely on this person to, you know, pay me and do all this for the rest of my life. And it's, you know, like, you're helping them achieve their dreams. And I'm not saying like employees are bad. Like that's not.
I get what you're saying.
But you know, because like there's a place for everything. But you know, you get to a certain point in your life, and it's like, do you really want more out of life, or is this it?
Like, yeah.
You know.
And you know, I said it the other day, or I've said it before. Some people have never had to hustle like they didn't have anything, like you. Like, you had 82 cents in your bank account. You're going to either make or break you. Like, you know, you're either going to go get it or not get it. And if you've never had to do that, because I've had to do that before too. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You don't understand. You wouldn't understand.
What that really means to like come from that.
Right.
Like, so like growing up, you know, like I actually lived in town. Like I didn't live on a farm, none of it. Somewhere in the mix, I got hooked on horses.
Where did that happen?
I think it's looking at Clint Anderson. It's like you either have it or you don't, and it's there.
Yeah,
true. But yeah, and so like I begged my parents for a horse, and like I should say my grandpa farmed, so I mean it wasn't totally removed, but you know, took riding lessons, did all that, and it finally got to this point where I think my parents realized that the horse thing wasn't just a phase, you know?
Right.
And so we were like comfortable, like we weren't broke by any means growing, you know,
right,
whatever. But when it came to buying a horse, like that's an investment.
Yeah.
And I have three younger siblings, so it's like, it's not just about me. It's not just, you know, what I want. And so my dad, he had collected, like kind of like wildlife art. And there was this one photo that, or like painting that he had gotten that they only made a certain number of. And he actually sold it to get me my first horse.
Aw, that's sweet. Yeah.
And so, like, I think, like, and I didn't know that story, you know, maybe until, like, a little bit later or whatever, but, like, the deal was, like, you always had to have a job. Like, I didn't have to, you know, they helped pay for boarding and, like, that kind of thing, but when I got into competing, it was, you got to pay your entry fees. Like, you're responsible for that. Like, if you want to go, you got to pay for it. So, I mean, I've had a job literally since the day I've turned 14 and probably babysat my siblings, you know, the 5-10 years before that.
It's different when it's your own money.
Yeah, exactly. So
I've had to do that, because you're kind of like, okay, let's get back to the basics. And you know, another thing that I wanted to talk to you about is the ability to take out your emotion when it comes to the things in business. Because I think women, I've got it, it's recording now, but I think women, we got it a little harder because we literally, like, that's how our body's made, is to be emotional. Yeah. Not that it's good or bad, but what do you suggest, or what have you found that has helped you to be able to remove that when necessary and keep your, like, focus logical for the best outcome?
Yeah, so I have to kind of sit there and look at it. I'm like, okay, what is the biggest benefit to my business? And also, what would that benefit be if I wasn't in my business? If I was not in my business, if I got hurt tomorrow and I couldn't do anything, you know, I was a freaking vegetable, like, what would my successor, like, what would they need, you know, in order to do what I do and carry on the way that it needs to be? I do a lot of rewiring work with Dr. Luke Trivedi. It's super fascinating. I will never explain it the way that,
I'm intrigued.
Yes. But it's the neurological rewiring of your brain for performance is what it is. It'd be on the basis of, like, everything is in balance in the universe and us in life, whatever. So everything negative has a positive that occurs. So really, when we're highly emotional, we're just not seeing the balance in that situation. Right? Like every time we're getting a challenge, somebody's supporting us. Like somebody's there, whether it's my freaking dog, mom, dad, you know, whoever it is. And so I think that plays a big role. And I've been doing that for 5 years. At least 5 years. And
I'm very intrigued with this because I feel like that's really cool. I would find that helpful because I feel like, or do you think that over time and experience and various things, it literally will affect your brain and the way that you think. So to have somebody help you pull out of that and keep you at a whatever, you know, a better state.
Kind of this like neutral.
Yeah.
Like it not like, cause you see people that are like highly emotional, right? Like just highly erratic. And then you get somebody else that has the same scenario and they're chill. Like I'm not going to go into details and stuff, but like I was married, things happened and I chose to leave that marriage. And, I was doing this work, during that time. And it's really, really interesting because for kind of like what happened, there's some people that would like off the rails, like just off the rails.
Yeah.
But even that, you know, there was a lot of questions. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how, you know, all of these things. And so just being able, like, I love this exercise and I do it in business too. You know, it's okay. Worst case scenario, like what would happen, right? Like if I lost my business, if I lost the house, if I, you know, did all of these things, what would happen and what could I do about it? What, you know, if I lost the house or like he wanted the house, you know, or whatever, like to where we had to sell, like what can I do? Well, like I'm secure enough in my business that I can just go buy another house, you know? And so it takes all of that fear off of you.
Yeah.
Like, if you know what you're like, fear comes from uncertainty.
Right.
And so if you know what you're going to do about it, then why are you scared, or why do you have that fear or that anxiety?
Right.
You've already got a game plan.
Well, but I do believe that things, when something happens, you can develop things that you didn't have before. Because, like, for me, I totally agree. Like, even what kind of happened to me on the internet a couple of times, I've seen people that could not handle less and then had the audacity to talk smack. And you're like, I know for a fact you couldn't handle what I did because I've watched you. So no. But after those things have happened to me, I know, for at least I can speak for myself, I've started to develop a small stutter. I've even developed, whereas before things have happened to me, like now, before that happened, I had no problems posting on the internet. Now I will catch myself. I'll delete things, change things. Like I'll second guess myself. And you can literally like just after things have, even like, let's say if you've been in an abusive relationship before, it literally will change your brain. Like it will change the way that you live. So it's cool that that's even out there for people to explore.
It's amazing too, because I went through all that and it was really, really interesting because I see clients, and like that first week that everything kind of happened, I saw one client and she was my very first client that I ever had. And she's like, how's it going? I'm like, do you want the what honest answer right now?
It's an open-ended question.
Yeah, it was just funny. But, you know, after like got through Thanksgiving and then it was kind of back to like normal-ish schedule. And I had people 6-8 months later, like find out that like we were splitting up and whatever. And they're like, I never would have known. Like, she's like, you carried yourself with so much grace through that, that like, I would not have known that that's what was going on. And so, in doing all that work, I mean, like, it really, like, we didn't even use lawyers. Like, it was $250, filed it, like, done.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, if I was so highly erratic about things, I don't think it would have gone that way. Like, it would have been such a mismatch. Like, and even to this day, like, I actually just had to meet him the other night to pick up just a form that he had assigned for my building, whatever. But, like, we can sit and at least just have a conversation and be civil. Like,
yeah.
It's not, we don't need to be together, but, like, we don't have to hate each other.
I'm so glad you just said that, because I literally was talking about how there's a difference between understanding what somebody's saying and agreeing with them. And I think that helps people to be able to respectfully sit down, like, okay, well, we're not together. We probably don't really even like each other, but we could still be civil and act like normal. Like, we could still get along. It doesn't have to be a charade.
I don't have to, like, want to strangle you the minute you walk in the door.
Right.
I understood that, too, because, like clients are kind of like that, too. You kind of fall in that category where it's, like, you have an issue with them, and it's, like, I don't hate you. I'm not going to take you on as a client anymore. Like, that, end of the day, that's fine. Go do your thing. But, like, it amazes me how many people will have something happen, and it's, like, 20 years later. Oh my God, I hate this person. And I'm like, doesn't that get heavy? Like, doesn't that get heavy to carry around with you for that long and be that bitter of a person just because you don't like somebody?
Yeah.
There's 7 billion people in this world and you're worried about one.
Well, and not only that, but, like, for me, you might be the same way. For me, you have to actually do something to me for me to not like you. And I even have people, like, the one, like, I had to sue a lady in Georgia years ago because she tried to, like, run out on $4,000 from me. And I can honestly sit here and say, I don't hate her. I just had to get my money from her and then we move on. Like, it's just not, I totally relate to what you're saying.
Yeah. Cause, like, I mean, for the longest time, there was, like, maybe two people that would be on that list. And had a really interesting experience one night, and long story short, like, we hated each other. I mean, like, we hated each other. And I don't use that word lightly. And we, like, got to this point, I just looked at this person and I was like, is it worth this? And they're like, you know what, it's done. Like, shook on it and it's done. I was like, that was a 14-year grudge. Like, that didn't need to happen.
Right?
And so, but, like, it was just done. And, like, even relationship-wise and stuff, I'm like, I think there's some guys that, like, get goofy. You know what I mean? I'm like, whatever, it didn't work out. Like,
or it feels like it's one-sided. Like, sometimes, for the most part, like, I'm very chill. Like, I feel like you and I can relate on this. Like, we're very chill, so if you see us heightened, it's like legit. It's not, you have some people that are constantly heightened over everything and you're like, okay, drama queen. But now,
they call me back 2 seconds ago.
right. But it's like,
I don't worry about that.
Sometimes it's very one-sided. And it's like, you're talking to somebody that has chosen to not like you for reasons and you're like, I don't feel anything. I don't.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes too, it's like, it's the process that, like, they have to go through it for themselves.
Yeah.
You know? And cause it's always hard for me too when I, I do all these things and there's, all these thoughts running around. I'm like, it sucks when you see somebody and you're like, I could help you so much, but, like, you don't want to be helped. You don't want to. You're not at that point where you want to actually change. Like, you say you want to change or, like, do, or whatever, but, like, whether it's relationships, business, family, whatever, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped.
And it's a comfortable mindset. I learned this recently. Sometimes people would rather stay comfortable with what they've chosen to think and you really can't do anything with them. Like, you really can't. Like, they would rather, whether it's wrong or right or up or down, it doesn't matter. They're comfortable believing what they've chosen to believe. So just let them believe it.
Well, because a lot of those people, they kind of like to be the victim because it gets them attention.
Yeah.
Is where I've, at least what I've noticed and what I thought. So it's easier to kind of hang on to this story of X, Y, Z and keep that victim mindset and that attention, you know. And because, like, I, again, like, going back to being, like, very self-aware, like, the first time you have a trigger or something, you know, like, somebody pisses you off, and you're like, well, that's interesting. Like, why did that make me mad?
Right, yeah.
Right, and so then you kind of start to, like, think about it, like, okay, yeah, I had this happen, but, like, what, you know, and, like, navigate through it. But there's people that will go through that, like, habitually. And so, at least in my world, how I think, it's like, okay, it happens the first time, but then, like, after that, that's a choice. It's a choice to respond to that situation the way that you are, right? Like, I mean, relationships are a perfect example. Like, how many people do you know that habitually get into the same kind of relationship?
Yeah.
The asshole guy or bitchy girl. You know what I mean? And so it's like, okay, you know how this plays out. Why are we choosing that path again?
Very true. Very true. You're right. You're right. And it's scary. I guess it's uncomfortable equals scary, which equals fear, which equals frustration. And so I can totally relate to that, because there are some things I know that you're like, you don't want to navigate into that, but you need to navigate into that and be like, I even asked myself the other day, I'm so glad you just said this. I asked myself the other day, why am I in these situations? What am I doing?
Uh-huh.
Like, what is the problem? Like, what, like, even like, because I remember I've been in an abusive relationship before, and unless you can sit down and go, what am I allowing to happen, mm-hmm. you will get the same thing.
Yeah.
And a lot of victims can't do that because they get really stuck on, they did me wrong. Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. But what did you do to allow it?
Exactly.
It's hard, like, to do, though.
It's very hard. Because, like, you know, one of my mentors has this quote, and he's like, you get what you tolerate. You get what you tolerate in your life. You get what you tolerate in your business. All of it. And I totally believe that, because, I mean, even with clients, like, how many times do I pull off some, you know, like, oh yeah, I'll meet you real quick, and then it, like, screws up my night, you know, doing whatever for my personal life. And so, and same with relationships and, you know, all of that. And so it's one of those things I think about that a lot.
But no, like, this I'm glad you just said that too, because this goes back to what you were saying with 82 cents in your bank account. So if you've never been in that position, you will never understand the immediate to go, I'll be there, I'll help you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I know that it's been hard for me to make myself take one day off a week. And it's not because you're greedy or you're like whatever people think. It's because you don't want to ever be broke again.
Yeah.
And you want to do the best job that you can, but you're absolutely right. I even had to do it the other week. I had to tell a girl, I said, I'm not doing favors for free anymore. Because every time I've done favors, it messed me up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Before I even started in practice, I had a doc that I went and shadowed, and there's a lot of people that will give discounts, or, you know what I mean? And, like, next thing you know, you're working for $5 an hour and just, like, not making nothing. And he's like, don't give discounts. Like, whatever you do, don't give a discount. and he's like, I'm not saying, like, don't do, like, a bundle or something, but he's like, don't discount what you do, because, I mean, it's valuable to whoever that is. And that has saved me so much throughout the years, because I, you know, you have people, do you do multiple horse discounts? No. Like, no is an acceptable answer.
Right.
And just no.
No, you're right. And we can, I can even talk about what happened the other day with the whole discount ordeal. Cause it's like, and, because there's a difference between I'm going to lower my rate versus I'll give you this for this.
Right.
You
yes,
know,
absolutely.
Like that's kind of the thing. Cause it's like, I was caught in this argument of how the value is not the same. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Because it is the same. Like, you know, if me and you, like, if you come over, if I hired you to come do chiropractic work for my horses or whatever, and I didn't give you cash, but I gave you the same amount in apparel, it would still be the same thing. That would still be, but it would be your choice to go, I don't need apparel right now. Oh, cash. Okay, well, here you go. Yep. You know, but like, you're right. My daddy told me that one time too. He said, don't come down on your price. Keep your price where it's at.
Well, yeah. And that's what, I mean, I had for quite a few years, I was a vendor and I'd be set up like at a show. And it just got to this point where like people, like what did me in was I had a show that I went to and it was just like a smaller jackpot. Like it wasn't one that I was actually set up at. 20 minutes from my house, and I had 5 people contact me wanting horses worked on. And I went back and I looked at my schedule and I was like, all 5 of these people, I was within 6 miles of their house in the last week and a half. So they can't make the premeditated effort to schedule an appointment to get on my schedule. But since it's convenient, they'll meet me at the show when I'm trying to run my horses and like do all of my things. And that was the last show that I adjusted anything at.
Like, yeah, I don't blame you.
Done. And it was one of those things that was like, it was just done. Like, I don't need that. Like, yep, I can go make a boatload of money at a show, but I've got, you know, I do this Monday through Friday. So when my horses are not getting rode or worked or whatever because of somebody else, nah.
Yeah, no, and you
not gonna happen.
you have to literally train yourself to tell yourself to take time for you to even make it enjoyable. So that leads me to the next question, because I wanted to ask you about barrel racing, because I know when I first met you, you really weren't doing a lot. I mean, you all might were, but it wasn't, you weren't like really active. But lately
I was kind of in like a laid back kind of.
Yeah, yeah, so you grew up doing that and you were really successful at it. Now you're coming back around, so that's really cool.
Yeah, I still have one of my old retired horses from like the first ride. He's Arnery's All Get Out this year. But yeah, so I had Maury, which he's kind of always my project horse. Like he's just that kid. And then I have never bought a yearling in my life, but there was one that I really liked, a sibling of his, and he came up for sale, and I honestly was like just kind of being nosy about him, and then I was like, oh, I'll take him.
What do you know? I got a horse.
So I had a yearling. He is a personality and a half.
Aww.
He just reminds me of a toddler that like he's got to touch everything. Like, touch everything, you walk in his stall and he's like smelling your hair and like just screwing with you, or like you're on the pasture fixing fence or something, he'll like be right, I mean like literally right here, and just he's like a big dog, he's just a character, and I like whatever, but like sounds great. And then yeah, and then I have my other one that I got him, I think actually the month after my divorce. Like he was kind of a like, okay, we're gonna do it now.
Yeah.
But he's such a saint. I love him. Love him to death. But yeah, so we're kind of getting all the pieces together to really be able to go again.
But that's cool. You've been doing it, like, and you get to go and do it. And that's really fun because it makes you feel like all that hard work's worth it, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Because, yeah, that was, it was one of those things that it kind of got to a point where I was like, because I had another instance where like I had a horse I was working on and like again should have just said no, you know. And I showed up to work on the horse one day, the horse was nowhere to be found, y'all's on vacation, and I'm like, I am using my time to come help you to kick my ass on the weekends. And I was like, that was another point where I was like, nope, no more, like, just no. And so yeah, that was kind of with some of my like education stuff. And then after State Fair this year, I'm going to 4 appointments with the minimum visit, and like that's all on my travel schedule because I'm like, you know, I'm at that point where I want my time for my horses, like to really be able to do it how I want to do it.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. That's good for you. Congratulations. Because it's a hard step. It's a hard step. So congrats to you for doing that, because it is very hard in your brain to go from that 82-cent bank mentality to, I'm gonna live a normal life and you're going to respect my time. It's hard to do that. It's scary. It really is. And if you've never worked for yourself, you don't understand.
Yeah. No, not at all. And again, it's another like just jump point. Like just do it. And like, and you know, and I know, like again, like intuition, that type of thing. I'm like, I know I'm going to get pushback from people on it, but if like you really watch it, you'll get pushback for about a month or two and then they'll be like, okay, whatever, you know, and get on board.
What is your big, I also wanted to ask you, what is your biggest, like, because we talked about like getting, because I can really feel people's energy, and it's like you get like, I'm the type of person where you're like, if my gut's telling me something, but the whole world's saying something else, I'm going to go with my gut. What is your like red flag, your biggest red flag that, or your biggest like situation where something like that happened and you were just like the out of the norm where everybody was thinking one thing, but you were stuck on something and you ended up being right? Was there any like,
I don't know if there's like one. I guess I watch what people say versus what they do, I guess maybe would be a good thing. Cause like, or like the verbiage that they use too. Like if someone goes, well, I don't normally tell people this or whatever, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of wonder.
So what you're saying is you do tell people stuff.
Or like just kind of that, like, or people are how people say it too.
Yeah.
Right. Like when I talk to somebody, like there's sometimes I'm like, oh God, I gotta be a little, just because you're in like a room that can't be, they can't project your voice. But like, if you, like, you know, some people talk really like, hey, yeah, what did you hear about this and this, like that kind of thing. And I'm like, that's a little like snake in the grass, you know, like you don't, like if you're gonna say it with your chest, like, and just own it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I literally said this the other day, say it with your chest, like talking about animal abuse and stuff like that. And, you know, it's, I'm the same way, because to me, I feel like I don't have a lot of respect for hypocrites. So if you say, like, if I see you preach this, but then you change that based off of somebody else.
I
like, to me, I need to get away from you, because I'm really going to hurt your feelings. And I'm really like, I just cannot understand that mentality. Cause to me, I think like some people think respect should be earned, and I'm the type of person where you're human, so we're going to respect you all the same.
Yeah.
Then we're going to go from there.
Yeah. You have my respect and loyalty until you give me a reason not to. Like that's kind of how I operate, and I'm not saying it hasn't bit me in the butt once or twice, but generally speaking, like those people kind of phase out of my life, you know, and it's interesting and it's sad that like people are like that, you know, because like sometimes they're friends that you would think would be in your life forever and they're not, you know, and I kind of, you know, I think every person comes into your life to teach you what you need to be taught.
True.
And that, you know, that sometimes relationships or people, like, they aren't meant to last a lifetime. They're just meant to be a chapter in that book, you know?
Yeah.
And again, it's like, not that you gotta hate them, but like when you start to view it of like, what is this person teaching me? What is it, you know, what is the purpose of this relationship in my life? Whether that's relationship, like, and I say relationship, like, broad, I guess, you right, know, clients, right. Business, like, personal, whatever that is. And so I don't know, maybe I have way too much time to think sometimes.
No, I'm with you.
But I do think when you start to think about it like that, it changes, like, the dynamic, and you don't get as, like, oh my God, this person, you know, or whatever. Because I, you know, like, I had a scenario with a gal, and it was weird, because I'm like, I don't normally have, like, this kind of stuff pop up. And so it's just really, really unique situation. And I was like, no, this is here to teach me to, like, make sure I have my T's crossed, my I's dotted, to, you know, like,
yeah.
How do I cover my butt and have all these protections in place in case somebody does get, you know, a little yappy or, like, you know, like, just
right
vindictive or something? Because, like, you know, the larger you get, you're gonna have to take a few daggers. You're gonna have to, you know, have these bigger types of challenges. And I had one too that, it, like, it was a whole spiel, but because I had that stuff in place, I was able to just give him a cease and desist letter, and I never heard anything more on it, you know, and it was just done.
That's good.
And so, yeah, so I mean, like, when you start to think about relationships like that, or like how, you know, like, again, like, kind of back to that whole, like, being self-aware and knowing your flaws, it's the same thing. Like, any other relationship in your life is going to be there to provide a balance of something that you don't have in your life.
You've sent cease and desist before?
What was that?
You've sent cease and desist before? I have too.
Join the club.
Yay! I'm not the only one. They made me out to be the only one. I'm like, okay.
Oh, no. I mean, it was it was to the state.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Was not how I was thinking it was going to go. And
good for you.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, you're going to make some false accusations. Here we go.
Yeah. You know what? I'm glad you just said that. Because, like, you know, I'm the type of person where you want to stay away. You want to not, hey, you want to not have any problems. But it's like, okay, if this is what we're going to do, I guess this is what we're going to do.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like you don't want to have that, but, like, you, with today's world, you need to be covered to where if it happens, you have, you're protected.
Yeah.
Because people, I mean, you know, any, with how much of our lives are on social media, and so, like, anybody can go on somebody's Facebook and poke some hole and whatever, misconstrue it, and then now you got a bigger problem.
I can talk about that for days, because it's like, no, for real, I'm telling you, because, and what people failed to even, you know, understand with the lawsuit that I did have and it's finished and all that stuff, is that I gave that girl multiple chances to not do that. Like, mm-hmm. If, you know, if you think logical, which I know that's rare, but if people, not you, but if people would think logically, you don't want to do that. You don't want to spend the money to do that.
You don't want to get into that mess.
No, too. Nobody does.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. I mean, there's a handful of people that
I can help you out here. Like, for me, it was, I even let the statute of limitations run out, and she did it again. Yeah. So I let 2 years pass, multiple chances to say, let's not do this. Finally, you just have to go, okay, let's roll.
Yeah, because that's what, I mean, there's a handful. Like, I went through a lot of challenges to be able to practice how I practice, because like just animal chiropractic laws are, they're a little bit of like a gray area. Like it gets,
I can imagine, yeah.
And so I went through a lot of stuff, invested a lot of money to, again, cover my butt and have a legal avenue to do this. And it's, they say imitation is the highest form of flattery. And so I have people that like see that and they're like, oh, I can practice there too. And it's like, no. Like, I know I'm the only person that's like able to legally do this. Just because I can do it and I gave the cease and desist letter, like if they came after you, I know you wouldn't be covered in the way that I am covered. And it's one of those things, like I don't want it to get called into question, but I also like kind of have to let you dig your own grave.
Well, people don't, you know, you're very right. People don't understand. They get called up because society feeds them. There's enough for everybody, okay? This is where you will mess up yourself if you don't logically, if you don't know intellectual property, number one, and if you don't understand the laws and the, like, territory, or that's the wrong word, but, you know, of certain things, if you don't respect that, they think, oh, well, I can do it too. Why can't I do it? No, you can't. And then they'll throw that whole game. Well, there's enough for everybody. No, technically it's not, because, you know, do you think Nike's going to be like, all right, you can use my logo.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can copy my design. Sure. There's enough for everybody. Are we on the same planet?
Yeah. No. And it's like, you know, and it's one of those things, like I don't have a problem teaching people that find value in it. And there's like, I'm not going to teach somebody for free. And maybe this makes me sound like,
no, not at all.
I'm a normal person, but from a business perspective, stepping outside of myself, why would I buy the Ferrari and then give somebody else the keys and show them how to drive it? If you want to pay me to coach you for business and make that investment, I'm game. I'm all in. I will help you to the best of my ability. But I'm not going to give away my services for free. I'm not going to give away my knowledge. I'm not going to give away my intellectual property that my entire legacy is based on, just because you're not willing to go make that investment for yourself. Because I know if I give it to you, you're not going to have the value in it, and you're not going to honor it the same way that I have, coming up from ground zero.
Well, you know? And not only that, but like, if you walk around this earth thinking that money doesn't make it go round, you're going to be in for a rude awakening. Because this girl, actually, that's funny you said that, because this girl made a comment on one of those posts the other day. I would just give it to them for free. Okay, well, you're not running a business if that's the case. Because, you know, here's the deal. Nothing is free. And if it's free, I don't want it. Because, you know, I'm willing to work with you if you work with me. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. And that, I mean, to me, I just think, what? You think, you think I'm just supposed to spit out some free money to you for what?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, it took a lot to get to where I'm at. And I think anybody that's in that kind of position would say the same thing, you know, that the people that are just kind of like willingly doing it, you know, whatever business that is, they're usually, that's how it starts out. Or like I love it when I like jump on a call with somebody and like the first word out of their mouth is like, so what does it cost?
Yeah.
Not going to answer that question yet. Because I even do this with clients, like, you know, they'll be like, well, what does it cost? And I mean, some people, don't get me wrong, like genuinely just want to have like cash ready or whatever, but usually it's not the first question out of their mouth.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And so I kind of, I gauge my response based off of when that question falls in the conversation. Because, you know, if people are asking that right off the bat, you can tell, you know, in their mind, they're going, oh my God, like, how am I going to pay for, like, you know, I've got all these things, like, it's not, okay, say this is I'm just going to use a ridiculous number, like $200,000 crazy investment, right? They're not looking at it as, this is going to help me grow my business to a $500,000 business.
Right.
You know what happens? Right. Where the $200,000 really is relatively trivial if you're going to be making $500+ for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Or you can stay stuck and not make that investment and make $60,000 a year.
Right. No, yeah, no, no, no. I was trying to explain value and price literally the other day because I was like,
yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. Yeah. If you say $200,000 to this mindset, it's not going to if you say $200,000 to this mindset, it's not going to register. But if you're telling it to, like if I wanted to make a million and you said I need $200K, here you go.
Yeah.
If that's all you need for me to get a million, take the $200K.